This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praises are for Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His final messenger. Amma ba'd. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's truly an honor and a pleasure to be here with you all. Subhanallah, like qaddar Allah ma sha fa'al. You know, I was, I was scheduled to come even to Melbourne to give a talk at the Twins of Faith conference that they have. But subhanallah, Allah had different plans for us all, my dear sisters. And I just want to take this moment to, first of all, just, you know, really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to relieve the hardships on you. I know we did go through lockdown ourselves up here, and I can only imagine what it must be like to go through it a second time. May Allah make it easy on all of you. I mean, everyone's got different situations. If some people, it's much more pressure being under lockdown than others. So I just want to, you know, say that I can really appreciate and empathize with a lot of you, what you're going through. And I ask Allah to relieve it. And I ask Allah ta'ala that He increases your reward for what you're going through, especially in these 10 days. And that's something I'll be speaking about again a bit later on, inshallah. But I just want to, first of all, you know, say that most of you are aware now that we have now entered, you know, into the first, you know, 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And these are days which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about them, that afdalu ayyam ad-dunya, ayyam al-ashr, that, you know, the best days of this dunya, the best days of this world are these 10 days. So we just have to try to grasp for a moment what does that imply. We're speaking about the best 10 days of the year. All right, so it's very important we realize the magnitude of these days. In another narration as well, he said, "Ma min ayyamin al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allahi min hadhihi al-ayyam." There's no days in which righteous deeds are done in them that are more loved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than within these days. And when the Sahaba heard this, they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, not even jihad for the sake of Allah?" And the Messenger of Allah said, "Not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except for that man who went out with himself and his wealth and didn't return with any of that." So this is what we're talking about. Like, the deeds done in these days are greater than any other time that you could do deeds. So we need to realize, you know, to the level that, subhanAllah, from the ulama were those who said that, for example, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said that obligatory deeds done during these days, these 10 days, are greater than if you do them on other days. Similarly, the nawafil deeds, the voluntary deeds you do during these days, are better than the voluntary deeds you do in other days. So what does that mean? It means that, subhanAllah, you know, the fard prayers that you pray during these days are greater than when you pray them in other times. Right? The rest of the year, your fard prayers you pray now, your fajr prayer you pray now, your dhuhr prayer you pray now is greater in the mizan hasanat, it's greater in the scales of good deeds of Allah than if you were to pray it at other times of the year. Similarly, when you pray any sunnah prayers, any extra prayers you pray during these days, the reward you get for it is far greater than when you pray it at other times. The same thing goes for your voluntary fasting. Like, fasting these days, as we'll come and talk about, is greater in reward. Fasting, because we're talking about naf fasting here, right? We're talking about voluntary fasting, because of course, nothing beats fasting the fad days of Ramadan, right? But giving, you know, fasting extra days in these days, giving sadaqah, reciting Quran in these days is greater in reward than if you were to do that in other times. So that's what we have to understand, that first of all, anything you do in these days, any type of good deeds you do in these days, the reward for it is greater than in other times. And just want to mention here too, that we're talking even about Ramadan too. This is including Ramadan, subhanAllah. And a lot of people are not aware of this. With the exception though, of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Okay, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are better than these nights of Dhul Hijjah. But the days of Dhul Hijjah are considered to be better, subhanAllah, even than the days of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that. So that's why you see the Salaf. If you go and read the stories about the Salaf, the righteous believers of the past, when these days would come to them, they would race towards good deeds. You know, praying extra prayers, fasting extra fast, sadaqah, you know, Quran, and especially number one, going for Hajj and Umrah. Going for Hajj and Umrah. SubhanAllah. And that's one thing. Now we realize what it's like to be deprived for not being able to go. Like some people neglected it. They didn't hasten to go. Now you feel the feeling of what it's like if you didn't hasten and you didn't take that advantage of the opportunity. SubhanAllah. May Allah bring it back the chances to go once more. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So that's why, my dear sisters, it's one of the saddest things that, you know, you find a lot of people are not aware of, you know, how great and how many blessings are in these days. You know, like when it comes to Ramadan, look at the difference. When it comes to Ramadan, people, alhamdulillah, they're very keen to learn about Ramadan. You know, they go to lessons for weeks trying to find, you know, learn about what they can do in Ramadan and how can they strive in Ramadan, you know, get close to Allah in Ramadan. But when it comes to these 10 days, most people or many people, all they know about these 10 days is, you know, this is the time when people go to Hajj and there's an Eid, you know, and if you know, they'll know that you've got to offer a qurban, you know, they know about offering a qurban. So that's why it's really important that we do take this time out to speak about the virtue of these days. And I mean, alhamdulillah, even wallahi, alhamdulillah, even us just being gathered here tonight, speaking about these days, we're all getting huge hasanat, inshallah, just for gathering for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within these 10 days, alhamdulillah. So let's talk about some of the things that show you how precious these days are, inshallah. So first of all, it's important that we realize that these days, you know, these 10 days are days of immense blessing and barakah. That's the first thing, right? These are days of immense blessing and barakah. And, you know, it's from the generosity of Allah Ta'ala that He has created certain times and certain places which are blessed. Like, for example, Masjid al-Haram, it's a blessed place. Masjid Nabawi, it's a blessed place. Ramadan is a blessed time. You know, and these days of Dhul Hijjah, they are a blessed time. They're the Qadr as well. And these times and these places, you know, these times and places are times and places in which Allah Ta'ala has multiplied the reward for deeds done in them. Like we know if we pray, you know, in Masjid al-Haram, the reward is 100,000, you know, it's like 100,000 times if you pray elsewhere, right? So this is similar to what we're talking about now with these 10 days. This is a blessed time where the deeds, you know, you do, it's greatly multiplied. The hasanat you get for it is greatly, greatly multiplied. So subhanAllah, if you think about this, this is truly, you know, from the generosity of Allah Ta'ala, because we all know that not everybody is blessed to live a long life. May Allah bless our lives. May Allah lengthen our lives and make our lives long upon ta'atillah. Ya Rabbal Alameen, right? But that's the reality. Many people are not blessed to have a long life. And so if you think about it, it's truly from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made these certain times and certain places in which the good deeds done in them are multiplied far more than usual, so that that person may have, even though they might have only lived for a few years, you know, they might have lived only a few years upon Islam, but because they took advantage of these special times, the reward they attain for those deeds is as if they maybe lived, what, you know, hundreds of years of someone else's lifetime, right? So if you think about it, we know that normally the reward for, you know, any righteous deed is multiplied from 10 to 700 times. That's in normal times. But in these special times that are filled with barakat, only Allah Ta'ala knows how great is the reward. Because like I said in the beginning, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about these days, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَلْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ لَلَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. That there's no days in which righteous deeds are done in them that are more loved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in these days. Okay, so subhanAllah, this is what we have to keep on reminding ourselves about in these days, because unlike Ramadan, you don't have that vibe of everybody, striving like we do in Ramadan. And subhanAllah, that's why you have to keep on reminding yourself of the virtue of these days, so that we try to make the most of these days and not waste our time in these days. So that's the first of things that shows us the virtue of these days. And then besides that, you see how Allah Ta'ala has in fact sworn by these days as well, right? So Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, if you look at Surah Al-Fajr, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, right? So he swears by the dawn, and then he says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. And as the Mufassirin have mentioned, they say that this was Allah Ta'ala is swearing by the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah in this ayah. And then he says, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. And they said, الشَّفْعِ is referring to even, which is talking about the day of Adha, which is, the 10th, Yom al-Adha or Yom al-Nahr. And the al-Watr is, the meaning of Watr is odd. So it's talking about Yom al-Arafah, Yom Arafah, right? The ninth day of these 10 days. So this is something, first of all, that shows us the virtue of these days, because Allah Ta'ala does not swear by anything except it's something great. All right. Another thing also that shows us the virtue of these days is that Allah Ta'ala chose these days as the days of Hajj and making pilgrimage to His house. So from all the days of the year, Allah Ta'ala chose these days as the days of Hajj. And that's why, subhanAllah, during these days, we normally find, millions of people coming from all over the world, making that journey of a lifetime to Baytullah. And we ask Allah Ta'ala that He helps us all to have the chance to visit His house soon, subhanAllah. We ask Allah Ta'ala that very soon, everything, this virus will be lifted from this earth, and it will be, a cure will come, so that we can all go back to going for Hajj, going for Umrah, visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, another thing that shows us the virtue of these days is that Allah Ta'ala, from amongst these days, subhanAllah, there's the day of Arafah, right? The day of Arafah and what's called Yawm al-Nahr. So first of all, the day of Arafah is the day in which Allah Ta'ala frees more people from the fire than in any other day. And as for Yom al-Nahr, this is the day of sacrifice, which we also call Eid al-Adha. For us who didn't go to Hajj, it's called Eid al-Adha. But for the Hujjaj, it's called Yom al-Nahr, right? So that's the day when the Hujjaj sacrifice the sacrificial animals are done on this day, the Hadi. You heard of the Hadi? It's the sacrificial animal. For those in Hajj, they have to do a sacrificial animal, most of the ones who do Hajj, right? So what makes this day of Nahr the greatest of all days is due to all of the different types of worship that are performed on this day, which you don't find in any other time of the year. Because if you've ever been for Hajj, and if you haven't, I ask Allah to help you to go very soon. But if you go to Hajj, you'll know that on this day, all of the major acts of worship are done on this day, the 10th, which, the Hujjaj come back from, Muzdalifah, they go to stone, the Jamarat, they go and make tawaf and sa'i, and as I said, the Hadi is sacrificed, there's the cutting and shaving of the hair, and then there's the takbirat, saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. So this is what this day is about. Besides that, as we know, in where we are as residents, Eid al-Adha is a day of the khutbah, a day of the takbirat, a day of prayers, a day of, we go to do the Eid prayer, and sadaqah, and we do the udhiyah. And so all these different acts of worship are happening on this day. All right. So this shows you, I'm just trying to give you the idea of how precious these days are and some of the reasons why they are so significant. So what I'm going to talk about now, inshallah, is what to do on these days. Okay, this is a very important thing for us to know, what to do on these days. So the most important thing, my dear sisters, as far as what to do on these days, is to just focus on venerating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can in all of your deeds and actions. That's what these days are about. It's about glorifying and venerating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in regards to these days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma min ayamin a'zamu 'inda Allah." There's no days which are greater in the sight of Allah. وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلُ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَامِ الْعَشْرِ. Nor are there any deeds which are more loved to him than those done in these 10 days. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. So increase in these days in saying التهليل, which is saying لا إله إلا الله, والتكبير, which is saying الله أكبر, والتحميد, which is saying Alhamdulillah. All right, so we're supposed to fill these days with La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. All right, this is all. Why do we say these words? Why do we say these words? It's all about venerating Allah. It's all about glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so in general, the idea of these days is to do all kinds of good deeds in general. But in particular, you focus on glorifying and venerating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. And that's why we see that, you know, there are certain narrations about, for example, Umar and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma, how they, you know, used to go into the marketplaces during these days and they would recite the takbirat, right? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And subhanAllah, when they would do that, the people in, you know, who were in the market would also begin to make takbir with them. And imagine that this place, which people usually, you know, what's the supermarket like for you? You know, it's a place where people only think about dunya, right? They only think about the worldly things. But at that time, imagine that through the everybody remembering Allah in the marketplaces would become alive with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that's why, you know, from now until the end of these 10 days, like I'm saying, try to fill your time and days with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll see how it makes you happy, subhanAllah. Like, you might be in lockdown now, but if you go around your house saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wallahi, you'll feel your emotions, it comforts you and you feel it lifts you up, subhanAllah. It lifts you up. Now, of course, the other thing I should mention here too is that the greatest of all dhikr, of course, is recitation of the Quran. Okay, so just like, you know, you tried to read as much Quran as you could when you're in Ramadan, you should also try to make a program for yourself during these 10 days so that you can spend as much time reciting Quran as you can. So the same way, yani, the way you should approach these days basically is exactly almost the same way that you approached Ramadan. You have your program for you. Even you can pretty much implement the same program you were doing Ramadan. And think of this as like a mini Ramadan, because Ramadan is like 30 days and this is like 10. So it's like, you know, it's like a little mini Ramadan you're doing again. From the other most important actions that we should, you know, which is really recommended to begin these days with, is to do sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, just like, you know, when in Ramadan, you made that tawbah, you repented back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very recommended to do that in these days. And don't forget tawbah as well. It's an act of worship. When you make tawbah to Allah, when you ask Allah ta'ala sincerely to repent, you know, for forgiveness, that's actually an act of worship as well. It's not just that you're repenting back to Allah. It's even counted as an act of ibadah, subhanAllah, from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So it's very recommended to make tawbah. And the reason I say that is because think about tawbah is like a door, right? That once you humble yourself to Allah Ta'ala and you ask Him for forgiveness, you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, opens up the way for you to achieve every type of khair and righteous action. Bi-idhnillah. Like, you know, you feel your heart is guided towards wanting to strive for Allah and the Akhirah. And to, you know, you feel encouraged to want to do good deeds. Because often, you know, it's the burden that we're carrying on our hearts, you know, those blackness that builds up on the heart that, you know, subhanAllah, it you know, prevents us from wanting to strive for the good and wanting to do our best in these days. So we want to lift, you know, what's on our hearts in order to, you know, receive the hidayah from Allah, receive the, you know, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's very, you know, it's very recommended to start these 10 days with tawbah, so that Allah ta'ala gives us tawfiq. Allah ta'ala gives us success, inshallah, in these 10 days. Another advice as well for these, you know, 10 days is, you know, just even focus on perfecting your fard deeds. Like, maybe you're going through a really hard time right now and you're struggling even just to do your basics. Maybe you're really busy and you haven't got a lot of time to do extra deeds. But at least focus on perfecting your fard deeds. Because what did I say earlier? I said to you, like we mentioned, that, you know, the fard deeds done in these days are greater in reward than if you do them on other days. Okay, and like I said too, the sunnah deeds done in these days are greater in reward than done on other days. And also, it's important to remind yourself of something that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in a hadith Qudsi. Like Allah, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that Allah Ta'ala has said that وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ, that my servant does not come close to me with anything that is more loved to me than what I have made obligatory upon him. Like, everybody wants to get close to Allah, right? Everybody wants to get close to Allah. Everyone says, I love Allah, and they want to get close to Allah, but you can't choose the way to get close to Allah. You have to see, how does Allah want you to get close to him? So this is the path, my dear sisters, to get close to Allah. You have to start with the obligatory actions first, then you add on the voluntary actions after that. And this is a mistake that a lot of people might do. Like, they might focus on doing a lot of voluntary deeds, like giving extra sadaqah and, you know, community work, for example, something like that. And that's all really good and it's all rewardable, no doubt, right? But if it's causing you to neglect your fard, where, you know, you don't even bother being careful about, you know, praying your prayers on time, for example, which are fard, then you need to go back and look, you know, how you've sort of got your priorities out of order. All right, so it's very important that we get our priorities straight if we want to really, you know, be solid in our deen and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, because, you know, you could have someone who, for example, is doing a lot of dhikr, for example, which is of course really good too, but, you know, but the same person doesn't worry if they miss praying their prayers on time or they just miss prayers altogether. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. In these days in particular, start new better habits for yourself where you put your priorities in order and realize that really the only way to get close to Allah is starting off with your, you know, solidifying your foundation first with your fard things and then building on that with your, you know, nawafil actions, your extra actions. And so, you know, if, as I said, if you're not able to do those extra actions, just focus on perfecting your fard prayers, you know, slow down, try to really, you know, enjoy your prayer. Try to realize this is your time just to slow down and to think about Allah and the Akhirah. Pray them on time, try to pray them on the beginning of the time, because, you know, that's from the most beloved deeds to Allah as well. As-salatu ala waqtiha, the prayer in its time is from the most loved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Okay? And besides that, If you haven't prayed your zakah yet, you know, maybe you're late in paying your zakah or you've got missed fasts from Ramadan, this is the best time for you to make up for those obligations upon you, right? Make up for those obligations. It's even mentioned about Umar radiallahu anhu that he loved to make up any fasts from Ramadan in these 10 days. Well, of course, you can't fast the 10th, I should mention, but especially the first 8, you could make up your fard fasts in these days. Okay, so then I'll come to the next point, which is from the other ways of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days is, you know, fasting these days. We know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to fast the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. And like I said, it's not, of course, allowed to fast the 10th because it's Eid al-Adha and it's not allowed to fast on Eid, of course. But, you know, if for any reason you're not able to fast the first 8 days, because sometimes you might be, you know, maybe you're pregnant or, you know, it's just you're working and you're really tired or something like that. Try your best not to miss the 9th because of the, you know, huge reward for fasting the day of Arafah, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, whoever fasts the day of Arafah will have their sins forgiven for, you know, the previous and the coming year, subhanAllah. So this is why it's highly recommended to fast the day of Arafah, due to, you know, how much reward is in it. Another of the best deeds to focus on in these days as well is to offer the udhiya or the qurban. In general, I just want to mention too here that, you know, offering an udhiya or qurban is considered a sunnah mu'akkada, like it's considered a confirmed sunnah for the head of the household to offer, you know, a sacrifice on behalf of his family as long as he can afford it. I say he because usually it will be the husband, but, you know, just say a mother, you know, just single mother, if she's got the money and she's got the ability, she can do that. It's not, I just want to mention that the more correct opinion, it's not like considered to be a wajib, but it's definitely something highly emphasized. And so it's something I would really urge everybody to do, because it's something from, you know, this, you know, it's considered one of the, you know, the rights of Islam. So the only one who wouldn't want to do it is somebody who, you know, is really struggling and they don't really haven't got the money, the finances to do that. That's perfectly fine. Okay. They shouldn't feel pressure to do it as well. But I just want to mention here too, even if your husband was offering a qurban this year, if you have your own money, you know, you've got enough money of your own, you can consider to offer a qurban on behalf of yourself. Okay, and anyone else you want to include. Like, you can include other people in the reward. So you might want to do a qurban on behalf of yourself. And for example, your parents, even if they've passed away, you can do it on behalf of yourself and your deceased parents, for example. You want to, you know, like a sadaqah for them, or, you know, even your children alive, whether they're alive or passed away. Because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, Allahumma hadha anni wa an ahli bayti. Like, when he would do a sacrifice, he would say, this is on behalf of myself and those of my household. So, and that included those who had passed away, like Khadija radiallahu anha. And especially now with, subhanAllah, in this time of COVID, you know, you've got to, obviously we understand that, you know, a lot of people around the world are, like, you know, struggling to find food. SubhanAllah, so that's why, you know, it's from the greatest of righteous deeds, especially in these days, to offer, you know, this sacrifice for the sake of Allah, because it's going to help provide meat for, you know, people who may only get to eat meat once, or even, you know, once a year or even less. So I'd say that, you know, this year more than other years, I'd really urge most people to think of this, you know, really consider doing this. And like this is a sacrifice for the sake of Allah, that, you know, it is a way of ransoming yourself from the hellfire. I just want to mention as well, because it's considered like, that you're doing that sacrifice and, you know, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you from those who are saved, inshallah. You know, and it's like you're ransoming that sacrifice as well, for that sake. Okay, I just want to come to the next point, which is, you know, I really advise everybody, inshallah, and myself, of course, to pay special attention to the day of Arafah. You know, don't just think it's only for the Hujjaj, because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that this is a day on which Allah ta'ala frees more people from the fire than any other day. So if any of you have been to Hajj before, you'll know that this is a day when the Hujjaj are all in the plains of Arafah. And subhanAllah, you see them, you know, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. You know, you see them humbling themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making as much dua as they can. And this is the day as well, as mentioned in the hadith in Muslim, that Allah ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven in the way that befits his majesty and perfection. And he expresses his pride to the malaika, to the angels, about those who are gathered in the plains of Arafah. You know, about how much they're asking sincerely. They're asking Allah sincerely for Jannah. And they're, you know, they're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness and to free them from the fire. So that's why it's from the best things that you can do in these 10 days is to focus especially on the day of Arafah. So how do you do that? Number one, try to fast the day of Arafah. Like, even as I said, if you can't get that first 8 days, at least don't miss the day of Arafah. Number two, there's a special sunnah that starts on the day of Arafah. I want to mention, it starts after every, like when you pray your Fajr prayer on the day of Arafah, you start after saying astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Then you sit and you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahil hamd. Right? So you sit and say that after your prayers. And then you continue to do that after every Fard prayer. During the day of Arafah, during the day of Eid, the next day, which is from the days of Tashriq, so the day after Eid, the next day after Eid, and the next day until the last, like the third day after Eid, after and you get to the Asr prayer, and you say it for that Asr prayer on the third day after Eid, and that's it. You don't do it anymore after that. Okay, so this is another sunnah that starts on the day of Arafah. And then besides that, you know, just spend your day doing lots of dhikr, reciting Quran, other types of good deeds, cooking for other people, like cooking your dinner for your family, you know, to break the fast of those who are fasting, you know, to feed the fasting, sadaqah, whatever good deeds you can do on this day of Arafah, but try as much as you can, like after Asr until Maghrib, try your best to sit alone and make a lot of dua. Okay, because this is a day when dua is more likely to be answered than any other day. Okay, in particular. And the closer you get towards Maghrib, that's the time to really be making that dua. So it's not just for the Hujjaj. This dua is not just for the Hujjaj, as scholars have mentioned. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Khayru dua, dua, dua yawmi Arafah. Okay, that the best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. So it shows that it's one of the times to get your dua accepted. Like Laylatul Qadr, we know that Laylatul Qadr is a time to get your dua accepted. And same with the day of Arafah, it's a time to get your dua accepted. You have more chance of having your dua accepted. So, you know, it's really the best time for you to, for example, make dua, ask Allah Ta'ala to bless you with Hajj. If you have, especially haven't been, really beg Allah, Ya Allah, make the way for me to go to Hajj. And ask Allah Ta'ala to cure all the sick Muslims, and of course to lift this affliction of coronavirus, you know, and relieve the hardship from all our brothers and sisters around the world. Okay, but one thing which is important to mention here too is that the best du'as to say on this day of Arafah is something the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to say. I'll say it, and inshallah, if you need it after, we can I can try to send it to you. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Okay, say this dua. And I don't mean just to say this dua once. I mean, say it over and over again in the day of Arafah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Repeat it over and over and over again. Get tired with saying it, subhanAllah. This is, Allah loves this dua to be said on the day of Arafah. And like I said as well before, this is a time also to make tawbah to Allah. All of us. It's not like only the people who feel they've got sins to make tawbah. No, everybody should try to make tawbah on the day of Arafah, right? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah frees more people from the fire on this day than any other day. And the scholars have told us this is not restricted only for those in Hajj. Rather, that if somebody was in their house and they sincerely, you know, repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day, Allah could reward them with being saved from the fire, just as He rewards those on Arafah in Hajj. That's from the generosity of Allah. We shouldn't limit Allah's generosity. All right? We shouldn't limit Allah's generosity because He's not like us. You know, as Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Right? Allah ta'ala, you know, there's nothing... You know, nothing can be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, subhanAllah. So we shouldn't try to compare Him to ourselves. Lastly, don't forget doing good deeds on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah as well. Okay, because a lot of people don't realize that Eid al-Adha is included from being amongst these 10 days. So that's why, you know, even if, you know, remind yourself that, you know, even if you have to pray the Eid prayer at home, which most likely if you're in Melbourne, it looks like that's probably what's going to happen. You know, even if you have to pray the Eid prayer with your family at home, you know, don't miss out on performing it because there's a reward in praying it. You know, and as I said, the Eid al-Adha is still from the 10 days. So try to focus on doing those actions of Eid that are going to give you those, that hasanat, okay, on this 10th day, which is love to Allah, right? So, you know, giving sadaqah on this day and saying the takbirat of Eid that you normally say, you know, I know it's not easy being at home for Eid, but like, you know, just make the most of it. That's all I can suggest. Just make the most of it. You know, do the takbirat the way you were doing it. As I said, the takbirat does cheer you up. It does bring, alhamdulillah, happiness into the house. And, you know, listening to the khutbah as well, like turn on the radio or, you know, online on Facebook, wherever, you know, wherever they've got the khutbah going, and listen to it. There's a reward in listening to the khutbah, like listening to that reminder. And then, of course, very importantly, and something that, you know, something's very emphasized on Eid is, you know, maintaining the blood ties. So if that means having a Zoom meeting with your, you know, your blood relatives and, you know, wishing them Eid Mubarak and, you know, you do that. You know, we've got to make the most of the situation, subhanAllah. We have to learn to find other ways of, you know, going around everything and making, you know, getting the best out of it, no matter what our situation. And same with, like, if you've had some sort of disagreement with someone, you know, Eid is not the time for having grudges or, you know, holding grudges or feeling, having that bad feelings towards each other. Like, it's a time for forgiveness. It's a time for reconciliation, you know. And then another thing too is it's very important too that we do try to practice the best akhlaq with our families, especially on Eid, right? You do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, we've got to realize that, you know, Islam is not just acts of physical ibadah. Islam is not just a religion of, you know, prayers and fasting and hajj and zakah. You know, we know that, you know, Islam is a deen of mu'amala, which means like it's the religion of, you know, interaction. It's a religion of interaction and how to have akhlaq, how to have character, how to have manners with others. And, you know, and subhanAllah, you realize, you know, what Islam teaches us is that, you know, having a beautiful, making your character beautiful for the sake of Allah, you know, being happy, showing happiness, smiling in the faces of, you know, your husband, your children, your mother, your father, that's rewardable for you, subhanAllah. Even just that small thing of smiling or just being kind or just, you know, being generous, you know, being patient, you know, being happy on Eid for the sake of trying to make everybody else happy, inshallah, especially on Eid, right? And we know that the one who has good manners, like Allah Ta'ala rewards the one who has good manners, like the one who is in a state of constant prayers and fasting. So nothing is overlooked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, you know, especially on Eid, especially when we're going through these struggles right now, I think it's very, very important that, you know, even if we're going through these struggles, especially for the kids, it's, you know, it's very important that we try to make the best we can, you know, make it as beautiful as we can. And honestly, the honest truth is kids don't need a lot, but what they'll love is just our happiness, our trying to be happy. I don't expect you to be perfect, but, you know, just trying to be in a good mood on Eid, trying not to have arguments with anybody on Eid, trying to, you know, create that nice environment, that peaceful environment in the house. You know, we all know what, you know, especially us, you know, we can, inshallah, we can make or break the mood, subhanAllah. So anyway, but, you know, I just want to finish up by saying that, you know, keep in mind that, like I said, all throughout the talk that, you know, these days, these 10 days, they are days when your deeds are multiplied. You know, the deeds that you do, the hasanat for the deeds that you do is greatly multiplied beyond what we can imagine. And that's something that, you know, I want all of you to, you know, really keep in mind right now, especially those of you in lockdown, and try to see these days that Allah's giving us right now as like a gift, right? Allah's giving us this panelist gift, because the reality is that, you know, if you really realize what these days are, you have so much to do in these days to keep you busy, to distract you away from what's going on, you know, because you've got to make a program for yourself. Like, I'm going to read Quran this certain time. I'm going to do my dhikr at this certain time. I'm going to, you know, and, you know, think about all the different types of deeds you can be doing during the day, and you'll be so busy with it. The next thing you know, it's Maghrib and it's time to break your fast, right? And the other thing too is that we cannot even imagine, like, the reward for the patience that you're going to get. Like, sorry, you cannot imagine the reward you're going to get for the patience that you're having right now for you're going through this trial during these days. You know, imagine that imagine that the reward you're going to get, inshallah, for your patience through what you're going through with this trial right now in these days is better for you than your patience if you were to be tested in other days. So subhanAllah, you know, think about this, that, you know, Allah Ta'ala is testing us with this lockdown, especially for you sisters in, you know, in Melbourne. But look at how at the same time, Allah Ta'ala gave us both Ramadan this year and these 10 days at the same time. And subhanAllah, if you look at it, it's a way, it's like Allah is, you know, giving us some sort of ease in our trial. And it's something that helps us to you know, to make the trial lighter on us. Bi'idhnillahi Ta'ala. So, you know, just, you know, as I said, sisters, you know, strive to do your best during these days and motivate yourself by remembering what Allah Ta'ala has said about these days. Because Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ وَمَا يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever honors the symbols of Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala, then indeed it's from the taqwa of the hearts. Like, what shows the true taqwa of the heart is that you give importance and you venerate those things which Allah Ta'ala has made, you know, showed us that are important, and that He shows us that these are things that we need to, you know, pay attention to. So I'll leave it there, my dear sisters. I ask Allah Ta'ala to make this trial easy on all of you. I ask Allah Ta'ala to protect you and your loved ones from any harm coming to any of you. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to, you know, lift this adversity from you very soon, inshallah, that you can start going out and live more of a normal life, bi'idhnillahi Ta'ala. But while you're going through this trial, I ask Allah to make it easy on you and to give you the greatest reward for all that you're going through, you and your families. And may Allah Ta'ala relieve the situation for all of our Muslim brothers around and sisters around the world. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.